Hello, Apostolic Insiders. Tomorrow is the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. And you know, if I could sum up the readings for tomorrow's Mass, it's all about Jesus. In fact, right from the start here in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 23, notice a prophetic text where Isaiah writes, first, he, that is God, humbled the land, or degraded, depending upon your translation, humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the end, he has glorified the seaward road. Folks, for those of you who don't know, of course, Zebulun and Naphtali are two of the patriarchs, two of the 12 patriarchs to whom God promised the land of Cana. And you know, if I could sum up the story of the Old Testament from the promise forward, it is they never fully conquer Cana. And the problem is always the same. Sin, a lack of obedience, division, fighting. And you know what? Not only fighting and not fully conquering the Canaanites, but fighting with themselves, which would perhaps come to its fruition in the dividing of the northern 10 tribes from the southern 2 tribes, and even among those tribes, continual warfare, folks, ultimately caused by sin and division among the people of God that sapped them of their power to do what God called them to do. I mean, that's the story of the Old Covenant here. So first he humbles the land of Zebulun. And by the way, that's a powerful text because this is Isaiah. He's writing shortly after the Assyrians had conquered, you know, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the midst of that darkness and distress, what do we see? The prophet promises the coming of the Messiah. And of course, this is quoted in our gospel reading, which we'll see in a moment. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah 9:1. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. We don't have time, but if you read down further, especially to Isaiah 9:5, we have the famous prophecy, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Of course, that's the coming of Jesus, who would perfectly fulfill all the prophecies of God concerning not just the conquering of Cana, a piece of property in the Middle East, but of course Jesus will expand that to the entire world, indeed the entire universe. Jesus says in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulations, I guarantee you that, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remember that text. But now we move forward to Matthew chapter 4, where we see the fulfillment beautifully laid out for us in the readings beginning in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Obviously, John's arrest is a sign from God. It's time. And leaving Nazareth, he goes, dwells in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And there we have the quote, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali toward the sea across Jordan, Galilee of Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And skip down to verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm reminded of Luke 4:13 in Luke's a gospel where Jesus walks into the synagogue and unrolls the scroll of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor. And, you know, he then says, this day this text is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus fulfills everything from the Old Testament. Of course, here we're focusing on that text from Isaiah 8 and 9, but Jesus is the fulfillment of all things. And this is beautifully brought to bear. If you skip down, now I'm going to go beyond the readings of this week's gospel, but I'm going to go just beyond to Matthew 4, verse 23. Notice it says, then Jesus immediately goes about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease. If you have a highlighter, highlight that in your Bible. Every disease, every infirmity among the people. So his fame spread through all Syria. They brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases. And notice the categories. Diseases and pains, number one. Obviously, these physical ailments and pains. Number two, demoniacs, all spiritual afflictions. Three, epileptics, which actually the Greek word is where we get the word lunatic. This is intellectual defects. And then paralytics, all manner of physical defects. This covers the gamut. And the Bible says he healed them all. And by the way, this is not there to show us that Jesus wills everybody to be healed now, like some of the TV preachers say. Of course not. You know, the older I get, the more I realize Romans 8:23 is true. You know, Romans 8, you know, 22 and 23 talks about how our bodies groan together with all of creation, and all of creation groans with us. Oh my goodness. At 55, every morning I find myself groaning. But, you know, it's a good reminder that the redemption is not complete, folks. Our bodies are not redeemed yet. We await the redemption of our bodies. In fact, our souls are in a process of healing as well. So this isn't here to tell us we're all supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and wise right now. It's there to show us that Jesus Christ is the perfect fulfillment of all the prophecies. He heals completely and perfectly. However, we then have the revelation that though Jesus perfectly heals, perfectly proclaims the fullness of the gospel that is the healing of the nations, God has a plan for this age of the church, for the church to go out and to continue his work, and as imperfect human beings, gifted with gifts of the Spirit, but imperfect nonetheless, until the consummation of all things at the second coming. And this is why we have, in the midst of this powerful fulfillment of Jesus fulfilling all things perfectly, he sticks in these knuckleheads, right? Peter and Andrew, James and John, in the reading today from verse 18, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and then James and John, and he calls them to be fishers of men, and they immediately follow him. Thus enters you and I, and I should add, the reading from 1 Corinthians that Holy Mother Church puts here for us, so beautiful, where Paul speaks of the very things that caused, or I should say, sapped the power of the people of God in the Old Covenant to be able to do what they are called to do. What does Paul bring out in 1 Corinthians? He says, you folks are divided, the Corinthians. In fact, going beyond what the readings are today from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we could read into chapter 2 and on through Corinth. What were the things that Paul was concerned about in Corinth that was sapping their power and keeping them from doing what God has called them to do? It was division. Some say, I am of Peter, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. And Paul says, you know, was I crucified for you, right? Of course not. Our focus has to be on Jesus. But in the entire letter of 1 Corinthians, Paul points out it's schisms, it's divisions, and it's various sins that he lays out from 1 Corinthians 5, a man sleeping with his stepmother, and on down the list from idolatry and adultery, homosexuality, you name the sins, he lists them in Corinth, and that is what is sapping their power from being able to do what God calls them to do. But the focus of St. Paul, just as the focus of the reading from Isaiah, the prophecy in Matthew as well, always brings us back to Jesus, because he is our source, he is the power. And by the way, Paul is not condemning leadership in the church, as some of our Protestant friends will say. See, he says, you know, you shouldn't follow Paul or the apostles or anything like that, right? We only follow Jesus. And of course, that is absurd, because, you know, St. Paul will say just a couple chapters later here in 1 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16, you have 10,000 instructors in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not many fathers. I've become your father, for I've begotten you through the gospel. Be therefore imitators of me. In fact, in 1 John 4, 6, St. John says, this is how we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. He that hears us is of God. He who does not hear us is not of God. So obviously, St. Paul, St. John is not telling anyone not to follow the apostolic gift, those who have apostolic authority. What he is talking about is do not follow the cult of personality. Don't, you know, Vatican Council I went to great lengths to make the distinction between the magisterium of the Pope and the dude sitting in the chair. And the same can be said for all the bishops in union with the Pope. As Catholic Christians, we understand we follow the magisterial teachings of the Church and the disciplines of the Church because they have as their origin the power of Jesus Christ, which alone, the power of the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. And when we get into divisions and sin and so forth, we are sapped of our power. We are not able to do what God calls us to do. And so the readings today are ultimately calling us back to sanity, to get our focus back on Jesus and on the apostolic gift that Jesus has given to us. And if we get our focus off that, we lose everything. I'm reminded of Joshua chapter 24. You know, as many of you know, the famous text in verse 15, where Joshua is talking to the people of God. And of course, this is when God has called Joshua to lead them into the promised land. And you know the story. They go into the promised land, but they once again never fully conquer it. Listen to what Joshua says in Joshua 24:15. If you be unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is the decision we all have to make as Catholic Christians, to get our focus on Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom, the sanctification, the righteousness of God, as 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31 say. Get our focus back on Jesus Christ, who is the power of God. And if we do that, as a people of God, as Catholics, if we are unified in Jesus Christ and with his vicar, there is no power on this earth that can stop us. God bless you.